Creativity is contagious. Pass it on in any way possible. Albert Einstein.
Hi, creatives. Thank you for joining us on this new episode of season 3 of Brewing Up Creativity. I am your host, Danielle Bonte, and I am a full-time entrepreneur and the lead graphic designer of my Toronto graphic design studio, Danielle Bonte Designs. I'm on a mission to inspire creatives like yourself to pursue your creative dreams one podcast episode at a time. Whether you're new here or an avid listener, I'm incredibly happy you're here, and I'm really excited about today's all-new episode.
I am so excited to introduce best friends turned business partners, Olivia and Jessica, better known for their female entrepreneurship podcast, Whiskey and Water, and influencer's assistant corps, Socially Ambitious. After their struggles in finding qualified assistants who understood the ins and outs of the creative industry, they began working on their course, Socially Ambitious, to fill the gap in the market. With the course now officially launched, they are excited for new audiences to learn about the opportunities, flexibility, and fulfillment that come with becoming an influencer's assistant, how they got involved in the creative and entrepreneurial industries, and everything in between. Hi, Olivia and Jessica. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so happy to have you both on. I love episodes where two people join me versus just one. It kind of like makes things a little different.
Yes, we're so happy to finally be sitting down with you. Long time coming.
Three's a party.
It is a party. I like that. I'm actually really excited about today's topic in particular, just because I don't know if I've had many influencers on the podcast. I mean, like, obviously, we talked to like a lot of creatives, and I think a lot of people don't realize how much creativity it takes to be an influencer and rock it online and continue to grow your career. So I'm really excited about today and just talking about that.
Yeah, I mean, we're brewing it up.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I actually don't have my coffee on me today, so that's a little embarrassing.
Oh, you're fine. We have a Celsius. That's going to get us through.
I mean, whatever does the job. I don't know why I don't have one, though. That's really off-brand for me. Actually leads me into kind of like this icebreaker question that I ask all my guests, but I think it just says so much about someone's personality. What's your go-to coffee or tea order, or is there something that you're just loving at home right now?
Okay, so I'm a big matcha girl, an iced matcha girl with two pumps of vanilla. That's like my go-to. Oh, oat milk too. Very important.
So good.
And if I'm making it at home, I make a oat milk vanilla latte as well. Or if I'm like going to like a good coffee shop, but if I'm going to Starbucks, I do the brown sugar shaken oat milk espresso.
Oh, so good. I think people are finally hopping on and realizing how good it is.
Well, just it's like, Starbucks isn't super consistent, but like I feel like that drink hits every time.
That's really true. They've messed up my name. They've messed up my drink, but that always hits the same.
It's the one consistent thing in my life.
Yeah, that's so true. But matcha too, like that is my go-to for like the afternoon because it's so much like lighter and it's just not as heavy on your stomach. I love it. It's so refreshing.
Yeah, no, I need the crack. Like, give me like a double espresso straight into my veins.
Can you do that? Can you do like coffee, like even in the evening as well? Or do you need to like put a pause on it?
Like, I really wish I could, because sometimes I need it. Like 4 o'clock rolls around and I'm like, I'd sell my left tit for a coffee right now. But yeah, because then I notice like an actual difference in my sleep. Like, yeah, I won't be able to go to sleep. I'll wake up so much more exhausted. So I stop around 8 hours before I go to bed.
Which is smart, I would say. I think I put my stop at 3 to 4, and even then I'm kind of pushing it a bit. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm only like 120 pounds and 5'2" in this little compact package. So it's like when I have a coffee, it just really like, it just sets the tone for my whole day and my energy and the jitters and everything.
I also wait 2 hours after I wake up, so I won't have coffee within like the first
good
2 hours.
For you. I love that.
I'm like kind of wellness girly, you could say. Honestly, I'm like a vision of health.
I love that. I wish I could wait the 2 hours. I actually admire you for that wholeheartedly. Before we kind of like jump into things, because I'm going to want to hear about your journeys. I'm going to want to learn everything it is that you two do beyond kind of what we just see maybe on socials. Before all that, maybe just like briefly introduce yourself and we can get into the journey, particularly into how you became a successful influencer.
Yeah, sure. So for those of you who don't know us, my name's Olivia. This is Jess. We are co-host of Whiskey and Water podcast. We're also business partners. We're also best friends. And there's a lot of different dynamics between our relationship. But we both started in the industry as models, actually. And we really just use Instagram as portfolio of like our photos. You know, we would go and shoot with photographers. And at the time, a lot of models were starting to just use a platform as a way to show off their portfolio and their photos. So that's kind of what we started doing. And then as influencing became a thing, as partnerships became a thing, we kind of just rode the wave with Instagram and started to do trade partnerships. And then, of course, you know, a few years later, we started to charge for our campaigns and our content. And I would just say it's been a very natural evolution for the two of us when it comes to our influencing creator journeys. We very much have evolved with the platform. And that's something we're like super grateful for. You know, we're not new to the business at all. We've been doing it for like 6 or 7 years now. So I would consider us
seasoned
vets. And then aside from that, we also have a content creation agency. We recently launched a course company where we teach people how to be influencers assistants, because we've had so much success with having assistants and delegating and outsourcing a lot of stuff. So yeah.
Did you mention the podcast?
Yes. And then we have our podcast where we talk all about, you know, business and female entrepreneurship as well. So lots of things happening, but all really fulfilling stuff.
So many different facets. I don't even know how you guys are walking and talking right now, because you have so many different income streams.
Delegation. That's how.
We're big delegating girlies.
Wow. I love that you said that, because that was actually something I really wanted to talk to you about today. Because I mean, like, I'm reading up on you, and obviously we follow each other. So I'm like, I don't know how they're doing it, considering like you guys dabble in so many different things. And I'm sure maybe naturally at first, was it hard for you to try and learn how to delegate, or to even just give up the reins and say like, I need somebody to take control? Is it hard for you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like that's what every creator and, you know, influencer kind of struggles with, is like that first step, that first hire, that first delegation. It's really difficult, because especially I feel like in this industry, if you're a content creator, it's likely that you struggle with some form of perfectionism, and you're likely a control freak, which, you know, that's both of us, or it was both of us for a long time. And understanding that what it takes to scale and what it takes to grow and also have a healthy work-life balance is relinquishing that control. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad thing. Like, we're delegating to people that are more skilled than we are, who know more than we do. And like, kind of utilizing that, it's been like the biggest growth factor for our journeys thus far. So again, we're huge on delegation.
Yeah. And I think like the first jump that anybody makes once you finally do that hire, whether it went good or bad.
Yes.
It taught you so much, and you realize, I actually can't go back to doing everything myself. It really is that huge sign. And I've had some bad hires, but I will always be thankful. Like, thank you for what you did. But like, let's get real. It wasn't a match made in heaven. Obviously, with the course that you came out with, it helps people to learn what influencers need and how they can offer the best services available. And like you said, it's hard to delegate when you finally do it. And I'm sure influencers are going through that too. The exact same emotions. But I like how you also said, like, creators in general, like, we're perfectionists, we're control freaks, anybody to give that up. It's so hard. When you develop this course, what are some of like the core attributes that you're helping them with? Like, is it like service offerings? Is it communication style? Is it like, what is it that you're helping them with the most?
Yeah. And kind of popping back to what you said about like good and bad hires, that's, you know, we experienced that. Like, we've had some piss poor hires. Love them for what they did. And you know, what Olivia said was, there's no
love. Say it. Yeah.
You know, it's just the reality of it. And that's not to say that it's their fault. It was, you know, potentially our fault for not properly training them, or, you know, like not having the correct resources for them. So it's, yeah, you know, it's on both sides. But as Olivia said, there's no losses, just lessons. And we kind of used all of those lessons to create the course. And we were really fortunate to hire an assistant at the time who came into our lives. And we were like, you are exactly what we needed this entire time. We figured out the formula to the perfect, like the irreplaceable influencer's assistant. And then we just put all of that pen to paper. We developed the course with our assistant at the time, Anna. So
I
feel like
that.
Really, really well-rounded because you have the perspective of the influencers and you have the perspective of the assistant. So
yeah.
Not only are you catering to influencers and giving these assistants the perfect skill set, but you're also giving these assistants the skill set to enjoy their own life and set their own boundaries and make this position whatever they want it to be. Like, it's not just to serve others. It's to also serve yourself and create a better work-life balance for you as well as the assistant.
Yeah. And just to touch on a little bit of what the bulk of what we taught in the course or what we, I guess, are teaching actively as people, you know, become new students. It's a lot. So I would say the biggest thing is inbox management. A lot of people don't realize how much communication an influencer, you know, especially full-time creator, will have to do with brands. It's a lot of negotiations, a lot of back and forth through email communications. I mean, that's our bread and butter. That's where we close our deals.
That's where the money goes now.
Yeah. So that's all happening in our inbox. And that alone can take 2 to 3 hours of our day to just sort through, whether it's gifting opportunities, event invites, you know, inbound partnership requests, things like that. So that's bulk of what we teach, you know, like good email etiquette, what a pitch looks like, brand outreach, what that looks like. And honestly, a lot of the foundational information that someone who is not already in the industry just like wouldn't know, you know, because it's like, it's one of those things. And this is another reason we even created the course, is one of those things. It's like, if you don't do it, if you're not a micro influencer yourself, or you don't have a friend who does it, like, how would you know what some of these like words even mean? Like,
yeah,
embargo or what a creative brief is. Like, some people don't know that. So a lot of what we teach is the basics and is the foundation of the industry, just so when someone is thrown into the position, they understand the verbiage that the brands are using. And then aside from that, we touch on like editing, we touch on creating a trend list for influencers, like
invoicing.
Yeah, invoicing, some admin stuff, some creative stuff. And that's also a reason we feel like it's such a well balanced position, because you do have a little bit of creative, a little bit of admin. So I think it does a good
job.
Mini
content creation.
Yeah, we have a little bit of content creation module in there for someone who is not familiar with how to, you know, set up a good reel or set up a good iPhone pick. So yeah, there's a good balance of all of it in there.
Essentially, you're pretty much helping these people figure out a business. So they must have like a huge interest in already. Maybe they're too scared to be behind the camera and be an actual influencer, but they know they want to help out in some way. And it's insane actually how much you're providing and teaching, because when you were saying all of this, these skills can be applied anywhere. Even if they realize being an influencer's assistant is not for them, like years down the line, you're teaching so many skills that help someone to learn how to run a business, because commonly we have to do those things as entrepreneurs and learn those skill sets. So this course seems like so advanced, but it also must be super fulfilling for you both actually to have somebody come in. I'm sure they like share their stories and why they've become students, right?
Yeah, no, it's been incredibly fulfilling, and seeing what people do with the position, because of course we're teaching them how to become an influencer's assistant. But like you said, these skills can really be applied in so many different ways, especially if you're a self-starter and you take initiative. Like we've seen, like people have become social media managers, people have become influencer talent coordinators at agencies, people have become influencers themselves, because, you know, at the root of it, you're teaching, like we're essentially teaching them how to run their business as an influencer as well. Like if I was starting out as an influencer, this would be such a great resource. I wasn't ready to hire someone, but I just wanted to know how to run things behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Like, how does this actually, like, we teach them email etiquette. We include templates of like how to respond to so many different kinds of emails. Like, it's really all you could ever need. So it's been really amazing to see what people have done with it, and just like the stories of people leaving the 9-to-5 that they hate and, you know, working for themselves, traveling full time, traveling with their influencers. And, you know, like, it's so cool. And it's exactly what we dreamed of when we set out to create this course, and seeing that come to fruition has genuinely been the most fulfilling, like cup filling thing that we could ever ask for.
Yeah. Hey creatives, are you having trouble staying productive and on top of your to-do list? What's always helped me is knowing exactly what I need to do on a daily, monthly, and yearly basis. Being able to cross something off is so fulfilling as a business owner. But why am I talking to you about this? Today's episode is brought to you by Notion. In affiliation with this amazing software, Notion is a productivity and note-taking digital application that helps with task management, project tracking, to-do lists, bookmarking, and more. If you've been looking to get more organized in your daily or business life, this software is seriously a game changer. There's a reason you're hearing this platform being thrown around a lot. It's helped to increase my productivity significantly. Check out the code below in our show notes that will allow you to save big time on this software that truly helped me to find new inspiration and increase my productivity. Quick question, actually, like while you were like talking, I'm like, I wonder if there's been any influencers turned assistants, if that makes any sense. Like they kind of went the influencer route and then they went and did and helped out and to become an assistant instead because they maybe didn't realize that the camera was for them and to post their life online.
Yeah, so we definitely have people who were just generally interested in the influencer industry, like maybe trying to be a micro influencer themselves and then realizing that this was like the best route to the best stepping stone to get there. Because again, they can apply these skills, they can not only make good money, like make a salary, you know, doing this while also supporting their own influencer journey. So we have had some stories like that.
Yeah. I kind of want to talk about you guys.
I would love to talk about us.
Oh, I know. Who doesn't love to talk about? Let's be real. We love to talk about ourselves.
Three podcasters meet at the table.
No, literally. I've kind of tried to be an influencer before. I had people send me products and like do meetups, and it was really hard for me personally. And maybe it's because I was an introvert, but I don't know. I really look at what you guys do as something that you need. I think, and it's often an assumption that you need to be extroverted, because I took myself out of the career because I felt way too introverted and I felt like I had to keep throwing my life out and sharing it and like all the little details, or I had to constantly network. Would you say that there's actually, and you might even be an introvert yourself, how have you guys navigated it and what kind of like personality would you say that you realized it, you fell into this and it is the right thing for you?
Yeah, that's a really great point. I don't know. I think there's ways to do it if you're both, honestly. I mean, you know, there's definitely the events side of the influencer industry. In that case, you're going to want to be extroverted, because if you're not, you'll just be miserable. But there is definitely a way to do it where you don't have to be super extroverted. Like, I think especially when it comes to like having boundaries and choosing what you want to share with an audience and what you don't. And I think that's like up to everyone's own discretion of like, okay, I want to share this, and that, but I'm going to keep these aspects of my life private. Like, just because someone's an influencer and shares their life doesn't mean that they have to share every single little thing. For example, I'm engaged. I've been in a relationship for 11 years. And, you know, I'll show my fiance here or there in a story. We're planning a wedding, so my content is...
Your photos were beautiful. I just want to say that.
Thank you so much. It's a little bit more now geared towards like relationship stuff, but just because of the wedding, you know, before that, I mean, you could look at my page and probably not even know that I'm in a relationship. And that's because that's like, you know, that's my boundary. That's something for me in my private life. And I think that's really important for everyone, because if not, you're giving so much. And then one, I think people may start to have this, have these weird one-sided relationships,
parasocial
relationships. And then it's like, two, then you feel obligated to show up for strangers, and that's not honoring like your highest self and like protecting yourself. So I think there's a way to do it. And I think it's with boundaries, honestly, and choosing to not go to events maybe, because, you know, those are fun, but they don't really make someone money. Like, you know, like we have gotten paid for an event here and there, but it's not really the bread and butter. It's the content creation and the posting, which is really where the money is at for most influencers.
Good point. And I like how you kind of beat that misconception or like a myth that you have to post everything, and that you can even personally admit, hey, I hold back on certain things and I'm still killing it, because the content that people want to see, it's not always seeing every nitty gritty detail, like you going to the bathroom. It's literally just like generic content that you've learned that your audience has come to love to watch. Now, I don't know if that has to do with analytics or how you kind of found out your niche, but what would you like say your niche is in the influencer world, and how did you like kind of fall in love with it?
Funny you ask. Olivia and I think we both consider ourselves lifestyle influencers. You know, our lifestyle is our niche at the end of the day. Like, we share wellness, we share beauty, we share fitness, we share entrepreneurship. Like, it's really like whatever we feel like calls to us. And, you know, I think just like listening to our intuition and what we feel comfortable posting. And, you know, like if our lifestyles change, we start leaning into that. Like what Olivia said, she's planning a wedding. So she's now leaning into more wedding content. And yeah, we just, you know, we lean into whatever season of our life that we're in. And we kind of allow like that kind of ebb and flow with our podcast as well. Like, you know, we change topics all the time based on what we feel inspired by. And I think not boxing ourselves in has really allowed us that freedom to share whatever we feel like sharing. And like, like there'll be seasons where I'm like just sharing fitness content because like that's all I feel inspired to do. And then there's sometimes where I'm posting home decor, which is, you know, and it is difficult because, you know, they say niche down. But, you know, I think the thought of niching down for a lot of people is what stops them from creating in the first place. And I saw actually a TikTok the other day and it was like, don't niche down. It was like, post whatever you feel like posting, see what performs well, see what starts feeling good to you, and then just take that path, you know? And if that path ever changes, don't like beat yourself up for it, because if people are invested in you and your journey, which is what they should be at the end of the day, then they'll continue to follow your journey.
Yeah. And it's funny you ask that because it is something that we've, I think, struggled with for years. We're like, should we niche down? Should I be a fitness creator? Should I be a whatever creator? Yeah. And we've never wanted to box ourselves in for that reason. Because what if one day you wake up and beauty doesn't inspire you anymore? And then you feel like trapped, you know?
You're stuck.
So, but something I actually have found that resonates with me is I've realized, and I don't know if I did this intentionally, but I've realized that I have a niche per platform. So like, you know, I don't really share a lot of business stuff on my Instagram because it's shared on my podcast. And I don't really share, you know, fashion stuff on my TikTok because it's on my Instagram. So I feel like that could maybe be a good solution for people who are trying to find their niche. Like my try on hauls perform really well on YouTube. So that's kind of like all I've been doing on YouTube. So I think that's maybe a good kind of meet in the middle solution, because you also can't create content, the same content for every single different type of platform. It's like at that point, it's a 25/8 job. Like it's too much. Like if you're an event and you're trying to make a TikTok vlog, a YouTube vlog, an Instagram stories, taking pictures for your feed, it's like you can't do all of that and just like exist as a human. So I feel like it's good to have boundaries in that way too. Be like, okay, I'm gonna do this for Instagram stories. I'm going to do this for my feed. I'm going to do this for YouTube, whatever it is.
Wow.
And I was going to even expand on that. I have different accounts for my different niches as well. So like I have the Jessica Experience account, which is like my lifestyle account. And then I have a completely separate like home decor page where I'm just posting that, because it was like difficult for me to like feel like I wanted to share that with my audience, because it's like,
They don't care,
or they like look at it and like it's, you could look at the account and like not even know it's me, which I kind of like there's some anonymity to it. And, you know, I share it here and there, and then whoever like, you know, likes that content can obviously, I try to cross promote, but I've found that that allows me a lot of creative freedom as well, which I really like.
I love that you guys are pointing out that you don't have to niche down, because I think like people that are tuning in think that they have to. And you said, like, if you do, you might feel stuck because you go through different waves of life. And it's so true. As a consumer, I mean, like, I never used to consider, I don't know, I'm in like this like baby obsessed phase and like family and like, I don't know, even relationships, right? So like, that's what I'm watching. I'm watching that now. But had you asked me 3 years ago, I would not be watching that kind of content and I wouldn't be following those types of people, but I am now. So it's interesting that you say that, because, and even the strategy of having like different accounts so that you can stay inspired as an influencer and reach these different audiences, considering there's so many creative interests that you guys have, like, why do you have to pull back on one just because you're scared that your audience only likes to see one? But what was actually really heartwarming was saying like, people at this point should be following you because they love you and they love your journey and they're interested in that, because it's so true. I don't know why this is going to sound so random, but I don't know if you guys watch the Bachelor franchise. I am obsessed with that.
You're talking to the right girls.
Awesome. You know what? Like, I've been talking to too many people that don't like the show, and I love it. And I'm going back like seasons and seasons ago, and I used to hate Ari Lyndyke. Okay. But him and Lauren, I love them. And I don't know why. Maybe it's because their family is so cute. Maybe because I love their fashion. But like the I love that type of like content too. But then I also love people that cook and I love the home decor. So me as a content watcher,
yeah,
I am not limited to a specific niche. So why should you?
Yeah. And I will say, you know, for anyone listening, that I think people who decide on a niche and start with a niche, I do notice they do grow faster because their audience is so engaged in the content they are making.
It's familiar.
It's familiar and they like it. Everyone who's following them likes, for example, it's my favorite example to use, cleaning creators who are dedicated, like make cleaning content. It's like everyone who follows them, they're there watching content. You know, where it's like, whether it's like scrubbing down the sink or whatever it is, the bathtub. It's like those satisfying videos. But it's like, that's something that if someone's like genuinely enjoys doing, like they're always going to clean. So it's like, it makes sense for them to continue it in their journey.
That's
like
true.
They're not gonna throw cleaning. But yeah, I just think it's an interesting thing to know. And then versus being a lifestyle creator, that's more so like you want to get people involved in you as a person and all of your facets. So I'd say it's a little bit slower of a growth, but the people who follow you, it's more of a personal connection because they're attached to you personally versus just your content. Does that make sense?
No, completely makes sense. And it actually makes a lot of sense. But now I'm realizing that I'm just obsessed with a lot of different things because we've talked on so many different niches. I'm like, oh, I watch that too. And I'm even guilty of the ASMR cleaning content, like, because I'm like, oh, this is so satisfying. Look at that fridge and pantry.
There's so many corners of the internet now. We live in a very strange time.
We do. But actually, I am loving this era because if we were talking to people years ago and they were talking to, you know, us of 2023, I think they would think like, wow, what a dream. Who knew you could make a career of this and do better than, like, honestly, people would expect to be doing.
Oh, so, yeah, 100%. I mean, we say all the time it's the best job in the world. And we honestly, like, to my heart, believe that. If I were doing anything else, I'd probably want to be an influencer instead. So we're so grateful every single day. I mean, the flexibility it gives us, the freedom it gives us, especially now that we've implemented so much delegation, you know, we've leveraged that. We have way more time now to just enjoy life and have hobbies and, you know, have a social life, because there were for a few years where we were struggling and we were burnt out. But that's the power of delegation, man. Once you like implement it, it's like you really are able to enjoy life more and enjoy being a creator more. You know, now we can focus on the tasks that we actually enjoy doing versus the things that just like take up time and are monotonous, or things that we just like dread doing.
Yeah.
Boys, like silly stuff.
Yeah. Actually, with you bringing up burnout from just like all the tasks that come with this, would you say that was actually the hardest part of being an influencer, or would you say it's something else that's the hardest part?
Hardest part of being an influencer? No, I think we dealt with burnout because we were trying to juggle so many different projects at one time. If it were just influencing, I think we would have been able to handle that okay. I mean, although now that there's so many platforms to create on, you can totally be burnt out as an influencer. That just depends on the person and how ambitious they are with their content. I would say the hardest part about being an influencer is putting yourself out there for criticism, for judgment. I think that's
Geez, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, mentally, I think. And I think that's what holds a lot of people back, is like they don't want to be cringy. They don't want people from their sorority to judge them, whatever it may be. And you are putting yourself out there for whatever people say. You know, I mean, like I've been lucky in a way where I haven't gotten too much hate. I know Jess has landed on some bad sides of TikTok or Instagram here or there. And people are just trolls, and it comes with the territory. But it's definitely something that if you're not prepared for it and if you're not grounded, it can definitely take an effect on someone's mental health.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that like Olivia and I, even previous to influencing, kind of had a leg up on this because Olivia grew up modeling and acting, and I had a few years in the modeling industry previous to being an influencer. So we were a little used to getting picked apart, and even not to say that bullying prepped me, but you know, being bullied in middle school, nothing compares to that shit. Like these people on TikTok.
No, seriously.
I'm unfazed, but they will rip your shit apart. So you do have to make sure that you're prepared to like do some mental work whenever you end up on like the wrong side of TikTok or Instagram, because people can truly be so fucking brutal and just nasty, and like you just don't know like why people like that even exist and like have hate in their hearts like that. So I would agree with Olivia and like kind of just second that, like that's definitely the most difficult part, but luckily it's not like doesn't happen all the time. It, you know, I don't get hate comments on every video or anything like that. It's just like once in a blue moon, people will, you know, just decide to pick you apart.
And it's hard because so much of what we post online is out of context, right? So it's like people are scrolling their FYP and they see one video of me talking, and it's like there's so many assumptions that one can make off of a 30-second video.
Yeah.
So it's really important for anyone thinking about getting into this to be grounded about it, to, you know, have just be in touch with their sense of self and their sense of worth and values and confidence, and just be able to validate themselves by themselves and not need that external validation. Cause that's also a slippery slope as well, as like, you know, caring about numbers too much and engagement too much and getting really down on yourself if things aren't performing the way you want them to. So I would say you definitely need it.
I almost forgot about that, to be honest. Like when I said, I'm like, is that the hardest part? And then you pointed out what it really was. I'm like, oh my God, why didn't I even think of that? Like, I completely had forgotten, but like, I don't know if I would have the skin for it. You definitely have to build up character and strength to get through it. But I'm happy to hear that it's not like somebody's waiting to cancel you both, and the hate doesn't come like 24/7. But when it does, you have grown a thicker skin through modeling and things like that.
For those like larger TikTok creators, if you go on their comments and you scroll down, they are getting hate on every single goddamn video. It is like, it's sad and it's terrible because like,
it's so sad.
Like, we're not meant to like put ourselves, like every like single thought out there. And sometimes that's why these people perform well. It's because they're so vulnerable and because they put so much of themselves out there. But you also have to realize whatever you put out there, you are subjecting to criticism. And we actually had a conversation on our podcast with our friend Rachel, who's an influencer. And she's like, I don't share what I don't want picked apart or commented on or criticized. Like, she's like, yeah, I could share more about my relationship and my baby, but guess what? That's like, I'm leaving room open for criticism when you do that. And like, you just never know like what people are going to say. And so like, I think that that's also a good tip, is like, only share what you have thick skin about.
For sure.
Because inevitably there will come a time when, you know, you receive an annoying, shitty comment.
No, absolutely. I swear it's not for the weak-hearted. Like, choose wisely. But it's obviously been so fulfilling for you both between starting a podcast and starting your socially ambitious course, being able to post your content online and having other facets as well to what you do and your businesses and your brand that you've grown. It clearly has been super fulfilling for you, even just navigating the hardships, the burnout, the, you know, different, I would say just levels of the career. Like, it's almost like you have to defeat different levels to get to where you want to be. Like, there's so many things that come with it. But obviously, like, in the end of it all, you're even helping people outside of it, whether it's inspiring people to be an influencer, whether it's helping people to be influencers' assistants. And there's so much that comes with it. So I just want to say, like, thank you so much for tuning in and coming onto the show. But for those who are listening, I want to let you all know that the links will be below for the podcast, Whiskey and Water Podcast, for the Socially Ambitious course, for their websites, for their social handles. There's going to be a lot down there, but I promise you it's all well worth it, because each brand,
like every single one,
every single one will be linked, but it's all well worth it. Thank you so much for joining me and just opening up to like your journeys and the hardships. I think sometimes it's really hard to be open about what we've dealt with, but it's obviously led us to where we're at today.
Oh no, thank you. This was such a great conversation. It's such an honor for us to get on here and tell you guys about like what we have going on, and hopefully inspire you guys to, you know, just follow a journey that inspires you and fills your cup. Like, that's what's most important to us, and you know, making sure that we're working every day towards becoming our highest selves, and encouraging you guys to do so as well. So thank you for giving us a platform to do that.
I love that you ended it on that note.
Thank you for tuning into today's episode. We're always brewing up something new for all of you to tune into, and love hearing from you. Our team over here on Brewing Up Creativity would love it if you joined our community in any capacity, whether it be checking us out on Instagram at Brewing Up Creativity or leaving a review to help us better serve you as listeners. If you're looking to join or sponsor an episode, reach out to us through email, which is linked in our episode's show notes below. Thanks, creatives.